Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, welcome, welcome, welcome. You're here live. You're in the nation's capital with your hosts, Ras and Mello. We're coming at you tonight, so you think you know what women want. We're focusing on, tonight we're going to be dealing with same-sex domestic violence and abuse, still in the same vein from last week. But I want to just briefly just talk about an event that we had experienced over the weekend. In our community, Mello and I were privileged to be a part of a beautiful You, Yes, You. They did a phenomenal job. Their founder, who was on last week, Triana Kelty, she did a fantastic job with the youth and gathering them together to go to the polls and vote on yesterday. Mello was there. We had the cookout. We had, you know, the snacks for the youth, you know, and it was just a powerful thing to see them, you know, so full of pride. Their first time voting, you know, so my hat's off, you know, for those that came out to help us and to support us with that awesome move. And just and Freshona came out. We want to give a shout out to Freshona, One Love, doing her thing. You know, she brought in a little educational piece for the youth and let them know exactly what voting is all about. She broke down the different branches of the government, the different offices, Republican, Democrat. I mean, she really, really got a little up close and personal with the youth. And, you know, they were fired up, went to the polls. So, like I said, shouts out, you know, to Beautiful You, Yes You, their founder, Triana Kelty Jacobs, for doing just a phenomenal job with the youth yesterday. What do you think about that, Mello?
You know, I think it was a great day yesterday. Hi, everybody. How y'all doing today? Welcome back. It was a beautiful, beautiful day yesterday. I mean, the kids went out, like you said, and voted. I wasn't, you know, I didn't have that privilege when I was their age to have somebody take me to the polls, make sure that I got there. You know, my mom taught me that, you know, the importance of voting, but it's nothing like having somebody come and show you, you know, which is what Beautiful You, Yes, You did yesterday. Like you said, Triana Kelty was in charge of that. She's in charge of that, the founder of that organization, and she's just doing a wonderful job with both the males and the females.
Absolutely.
It was definitely a wonderful turnout. I had fun cooking on the grill, as usual.
Yeah.
I love that. Just, you know, getting to meet all the kids, and my girlfriend was there. And she said she had a wonderful time. Just, you know, she said that it was a great, great experience for her and a wonderful cause to be able to be a part of it and just meet all the young ladies. She said the girls were so sweet. And it was just a wonderful experience. As a matter of fact, she asked me, I said, she said, one of the young ladies just seemed like she, almost like she just took to me, like, just like, I was like, because she probably saw, you know, that you're a genuine sister, you know, somebody that she, you know, might be able to look up to all like your father and things. She's like, yeah, it felt kind of good. So, you know, it was just everybody, the whole community. We had a lot of people in the neighborhood enjoying the grilled food, so forth that you all provided. A lot of the guys were out there, you know, helping out. So it was good.
The Beautiful You, Yes, You Foundation, they've actually just moved in. Triana has been working within that community for the last couple of years, but they have just now officially got a presence. So she has an office there on site. So we're looking to hear some great things from A Beautiful You, Yes, You. Not only that, A Beautiful You, Yes, You also had a domestic violence and abuse dinner over in the Benin Terrace area of Washington, D.C. And that was our guest that's back with us again tonight, Queen of Fee, was actually was the keynote speaker there at that function. And it was really just, all I can say is, you know, the fire, the positiveness, and the note chaser of Queen of Fee is, I mean, as when you're dealing with a subject so sensitive as this, the way she dives right into it. And, you know, it's no cut cards because people have been silent too long and making it sound good too long and not talking about it too long. So when I, you know, just watching her just on Thursday was just, it was just an amazing thing to see.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I mean, she captured the room. One of the other organizations, the Brown Boys Village, whose founder is Triana Kelke, they were there. And just to watch them to be, you know, just engaged like that,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's what we need. We need people that are real, people that are willing to lay it down on the line. And our kids, our youth, they don't want any sugarcoating anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? They know real and they know fake, you know, so... Just to see that, I'm telling you, the sister is the real deal. You know what I mean? And she lays it out. She lays it. She lays her heart and she lays her life out on a regular. And so she's just a treat. She's just a treat.
Yeah, it's gonna be good to have her back. Like I said, she was here with us last week, and as you guys know, the whole month we dealt with. Domestic violence and violence of all levels, and domestic abuse, rather, on all levels. And tonight, this focus is on same-sex violence, domestic violence, and that's a wonderful thing. I think that a lot of times, like you said, it goes unspoken of. You know, it's like it's something that's invisible. But it happens every day, too many times a day.
Absolutely.
And anybody, it can be a victim. It shows no, you know, domestic violence has no cut cards. It affects everybody, every race, the age, you know, any gender. And so tonight I think it's really important that we're going to dive into this subject one more time or again, however long it takes. But we're going to dive into it again tonight, talking about the same-sex and same-sex abuse. And like you said, tonight we're going to have back Queen Key. Queen of Fee. I apologize. My apologies, Queen of Fee. We're going to have back Queen of Fee, and we're going to also, joining with her tonight is going to be Yvette Gagnon. She's a survivor of same-sex abuse. So it's going to be wonderful to have her join her as well, Queen of Feet. The two of them together are going to talk to us tonight and give us, you know, some more understanding about this very important issue.
Yeah, they're going to share their story with us tonight. The thing that's a trip is, what makes a person stay? You know, that's always a thing. I think last week we talked a little bit about what, you know, having enough and getting and what makes a person leave a bad situation. From, you know, when I look at it, you know, we have a lot of, you know, like, I think low self-esteem issues. You know, with women and men. I mean, because, you know, it's not an isolated, it's not just women. And that's what we talked about, too, last week. But, I mean, it's heartbreaking even more for me when a woman hits another woman. I feel like, you know, we come through so much already,
yeah.
you know. And when the only way that I can communicate with you is to physically put my hands on you. I don't have language enough, conversation enough for us to talk. I have to physically knock you upside your head. Something's kind of wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You know, we talked a little bit last week about this being part of alert behavior, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And all that's true. All that's true. But definitely us not talking about it, not having these kind of forums on abuse,
mm-hmm.
you know, I think that's a big key, a big, huge piece, you know. So when I get with and talk to sisters like Queen of Fee, and Yvette, who's going to be on tonight, I think that we need more of it. We really need to talk about it. It's just, you know, it's heartbreaking. You know, it's heartbreaking. Still in the vein of abuse, and why people get quiet. I mean, what would you do, male? Somebody came and knocked you aside your head. I mean, is that love to you?
Oh, man, nah, not at all. Unfortunately, I'm going to hit them back, which is not good either. But I'm just not going to allow you to do that. In other words, I love myself too much, you know, and I think that that is a big problem, you know, the self-esteem issue, like you said, you know, not loving yourself enough. And if I love myself, then I'm definitely not going to allow that to happen, you know. If it happens once, it definitely won't happen twice. You can believe that. You know, because I just, like you said, it's very important to have your self-esteem to a place where you love yourself more than you love someone else. You know, and that you know the definition of love, because hitting you upside the head and any sort of abuse, verbal, emotional, spiritual, none of that is love.
Yeah, and that, now see, now we talked a little bit too, I think, about the spiritual piece,
mm-hmm.
with, you know, if you're in the same church or if you're a spiritual leader,
mm-hmm.
you know, and in another life, in another part of my life, I used to be very involved in the church.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing with that that was most heartbreaking is that I dealt with women on the regular who were missionaries, preachers' wives, mm-hmm. you know what I mean, and deaconess. I mean, all kind of these operations. And then at behind closed doors, we're dealing with, well, you know, he's hitting me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? We're seeing abuse.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Women are timid. You
yeah.
know. You know. Which is another sign of abuse.
Mm-hmm.
You know. They, it's always you can't do enough. You see these guys that are just like, just bossy. You know what I mean? And the women are so
controlling.
Yeah. And it's almost frightening,
mm-hmm.
because you can literally see fear.
Yeah.
It's not that they love these guys or women.
Mm-hmm.
But they fail.
They fail.
You know, and I think with more forums like this, we can help other people identify these things.
Mm-hmm.
Because people want to talk about it now. I really believe that.
Yeah, times have changed. It's time. Silence is over, you know, for so many different things that we kept quiet about. You know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Again.
You want to talk to me tonight? We're going to have again. I just want to reiterate and let you guys know that we're going to have Queen of Fee on, back on tonight, and she's going to, again, begin to share her story. And joining her tonight is going to be Yvette Gagner, who's also a survivor of same-sex abuse. We can't, you know, I guess talk about that enough, you know, the importance of talking about same-sex abuse, because I don't understand.
Yeah.
And you know, these women are emulating these men, beating up on, you know, their girlfriend and doing what they think. First of all, you're not a man. let's get that together. You're a woman hitting another woman.
Right. Right.
So stop trying to emulate someone that you're not. I mean, I'm a lesbian.
Yeah.
The Rash is a lesbian, and you know, we don't hit our women. We love them, you know. And we also not we're dominant women, you know. But we don't think that we're men to the point where we're trying to act like someone that is abusive. Okay, if you want to emulate someone, emulate a positive man. Emulate somebody out here who's loving their woman and treating them right and showing them how to take, you know, how they should be loved and taken care of. Let's stop emulating these brothers out here who have no idea what it means to be a man.
Well, and then here's the other thing. We got all the music, you know, we have We have all the lyrics that point to abuse.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And
when everything from name calling.
Okay. Okay.
When we say that word.
Yes.
Shouldn't
yes. Yes. Bitch.
Bitch.
Yes. That word.
That word.
The big B. You know, we got a lot of issues. But like I said again, we wanna you know, our guest is in the studio with us. We just want to welcome back Queen of Fee.
Welcome, welcome.
Doing her thing, you know, keeping it real. Like I said, I enjoyed her on Thursday night.
Mm.
Just a phenomenal, just a gracious lady. And we love you, Queen of Fee, you know. Welcome back.
Welcome back.
Thank you so much. I'm definitely glad to be back on with y'all again. Talking about this dinner table conversation tonight. Good conversation tonight.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. This thing is crazy.
Yes, it really is. And it's sad because we have the women-on-women relationships. Of course, we're talking about same-sex relationships as it pertains to women that it's a lot of those tags, as we talked about before, the many tags that domestic violence wears, the physical, the verbal, the emotional, the financial, the sexual. And we got to start talking about that in those relationships because, again, it's happening. And most people only identify with physical abuse. But as I stated before, verbal abuse is the number one killer.
Yeah, absolutely. Because it's so sneaky. You know what I mean? And you can disguise it. You can disguise it as I'm your employer. You can disguise it as I'm the pastor. You can disguise it as, you know, I'm Uncle Johnny. You know what I mean?
Well, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can disguise it in so many. You can disguise it in so many ways, but the truth is, and you know, I go back to me being a victim as well as an abuser of domestic violence. The truth is that as an abuser, you're not going to be able to hold those tendencies down, but for so long, eventually, that abusive behavior is going to come out. And as I stated before, when I was here, you have some abusers that are just outright with their behavior. You know, they may call you the B word. They may continually verbally abuse you with in a negative form. And then you have some abusers that come off positive. You know, they appear positive at first. But either way, we have got to watch the person's behavior over time because if we're seeing warning signs, if things are not resonating right in your spirit with that person, if you feel like you backed up in a corner when you're around this person, it's probably not right. And the person is probably wearing some of those tags that we're talking about tonight.
Absolutely. Wow.
Queen of Fee, Do you happen to know of any other women who are in same-sex domestic violent relationships?
I've encountered it. And I see, you know, it's quiet, it's hush-hush again in that particular community because nobody is stepping up to the plate and saying, this is wrong, and I'm one of those people who's stepping up and saying, you know what, this is inappropriate. And I believe in the stories of women and men that have experienced same-sex abuse because the story, the survivor story at the end of the day is really what's going to save current victims and current abusers, really going to push them to seek out and get help. And that's our objective in Domestic Violence Wears Many Tags organization. Our objective is to get current victims and abusers seeking help, and that is okay. And through the survivor story, that's what we do. And, of course, I've met a young lady by the name of Yvette Gagnon, and hopefully she's here with us tonight, a Caucasian sister.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, peace and love, sis. Welcome, welcome, welcome tonight for us. Let me get this out, though.
Thank you for coming.
A Caucasian sister who, you know, because we say it only happened to this kind of person. It only happens to that kind of person. America has put so many stigmas on who abuse can happen to. And when Yvette stepped up to the plate and wanted to tell me her story, I was all ears about her story and fascinated with the fact that she had been experiencing same-sex abuse and wanted to share her story. And so I, you know, was motivated to help her do that because that's a piece that I really want to tap into and bring it to the forefront of the community that, hey, this is another set of relationships, because remember now, Queen, say what? It wear many tags. So this is another set of relationship tags that we are seeing abuse in rocket numbers. It's going up. So that's where Yvette comes in and shares her story and advocates for the same-sex abuse piece.
Wow. Wow. Welcome, Yvette. Thanks for
thank you
for showing up.
Yes, welcome.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
Yeah. Talk to us a little bit about your story.
Okay. So, you know, my story is basic. When I was young, my dad used to beat up my mom. And I would say, I'm never going to have a boyfriend that does that. And, you know, none of my boyfriends ever did. They never laid hands on me. But when I was 16, I dated a girl who expressed herself with her fists. And, you know, and just recently I thought about this through the books that I'm writing and through Queen allowing me to speak at her events. I learned that, you know, I was raised in a violent home. They abused me without any kind of prize, so to speak. When I was 16, I was having sex. And so I'm thinking, woo, an abuse, and I'm finally getting back something. You know? So to me, then, that is how I equated love was with sex and abuse. And and you guys were talking earlier about loving yourself more, but, you know, I was thinking about that, and I'm like, how about valuing yourself more and respecting yourself more? Because I loved aspects of me, but I didn't value me, and I didn't respect me enough to tell this girl that, hey, it's not acceptable to beat me, you know? And my mom said, when I was 17 years old, my mom said, you come home with one more bruise, then you're not allowed to see this girl. Well, I'm like, I'm not giving up what I'm getting. The physical I'm not giving that up. So I moved out at 17 to continue an abusive relationship and didn't talk to my mom for months.
Real quick, you said that your mom was being abused, right, by your dad?
Yep.
And so, but she said that you needed to not come
home
with
me. Yeah, isn't that something?
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So,
that's never been addressed. Isn't that funny? I mean, she loved us. She wanted better for us, because my dad never hit us. Okay?
Okay.
My dad never hit us. All right?
Okay.
It's hard to say. My dad, he loved us. I'm working it out in a book right now about how my dad was an abuser, but he was a human, and he loved us. And and there are a lot of aspects about my dad that I loved, and he just couldn't get through the pain of what he was suffering. So what he did was he took it out on my mom, because it was something that my mom did before they were married, and he couldn't get through the pain, and he didn't allow himself to heal from it. He did not allow himself to get the help that he needed. Instead, he expressed his pain onto my mom and didn't I don't think he even realized how bad he was hurting everyone in the family. And he just was so consumed by the pain that he felt by what she had done before they were married. And and so, you know, now I can forgive him for that. But it's I can't express this enough. There is a difference between understanding why someone is an abuser and condoning their
behavior.
Actions. Okay?
Okay.
There
yeah.
is a difference between understanding and condoning. Two different things, you know?
Okay, so give the audience your definition. Break that up. Clarify that just a little more.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, so go ahead.
Yeah.
Because you're saying if there's a difference. Tell us the difference and condoning it.
Okay, so you can understand an abuser. Hold on.
Okay.
Hold on. I don't know. Okay. Okay. Thanks. No. So you plug in. Here you go. All right. Sorry. I just want to make sure I don't lose you guys. All right. So, okay. Understanding an abuser's why they do it is to know that they're human and they make mistakes, okay? And you can love the person, just not their actions. But condoning it means you're okay with what they did. And that is not what I'm saying at all, because there was nothing that I was okay with what my dad did to my mom, you know what I'm saying? Or what that girl did to me when I was 16, you know?
Absolutely.
Are y'all there?
Yeah.
So understanding allows for forgiveness, I believe. Okay, condoning means you allow it to continue, and that is not what I'm saying.
That's cool. So that's what I wanted to hear, because in that, how do we allow room for forgiveness?
Right.
It's still touch and go situation, because now here we're telling someone who's being abused, within that abuse, you're going to have to understand that there's a reason that this is happening.
Right.
Now, if I'm being abused now, you know, on the other end, if I'm being abused and I do want to forgive, if I'm putting that into practice, how much do I take as I'm allowing this person to come to the realization or work out whatever it is that's frustrating them?
One, they should never lay their hands on you, okay? They can
work
out their situation, but their anger needs to be redirected, or they can put their hands on a punching bag or learn how to redirect the anger. There is no acceptance for somebody hitting you, okay? None. So, but counseling, and this is a music video that I'm producing right now called Keep It in the Ring. We're gonna show how abusers can reform through counseling and redirection of their anger. Okay?
Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
Okay.
Because yeah, but you can stand by someone who is trying to reform. Not this, oh baby, sorry I hit you, boom, hit you again, and then you stay with them. That's just not how it is. You know what I mean? If they are actually getting counseling, getting help, working through the pain that causes them to hurt others, then it's okay. You know what I'm saying? Then you can work with them. And sometimes you have to leave that person just so that they can get back on their feet, okay?
All right. That's what we need to hear. Because so many times, you know, I've talked to people, I've run into people, and like we were saying, it's easy to tell somebody to leave, and then we don't have any place for them to go, and then they end up staying, and sometimes that's the point of their life. You know what I mean?
I do.
So,
not as easy to leave because, I mean, there's some, and depending on the jealousy level and the possessiveness, that person will come right after you. So you have to have a support system around you, and that's really hard because of the isolation once you're abused. I mean, when I was dating my girlfriend at 16, I didn't talk to anyone. I didn't have any friends.
Well,
she kept me isolated. Huh?
How old was your girlfriend?
She was 16. We were both 16. And but so you know what? That
So at 16, you're telling us tonight that that your girlfriend had so much going on within her that she was directing all of that anger to you.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's how she expressed herself, was to beat the crap out of me constantly. So yeah, I never hit her back. I never hit her back because I knew that it would be like 10 times worse.
Okay. Okay. So after the fight, was it good loving? We fight and then we make up. I mean, was that like practice?
Well, yeah, I mean, makeup sex is always, but yeah, but it's not acceptable then. But it's not, I mean, everybody makes such a big deal about how amazing that is, but you know what, that's just even more destructive.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Because that's like saying it's okay, and ooh, wow, I have an even bigger prize now, but it's not okay.
And then now I'll jump in for a minute.
Absolutely.
What?
This is Queen. The behavior, when she said the makeup sex piece, that happens, of course, in same-sex relationships as well as all relationships. And at the end of the day, like Yvette is saying, it's not okay. But for some reason, there's that stigma again that says that, okay, yeah, if you hit me, if you beat me, you had good sex with me, you love me. So there's that stigma again that keeps us in bondage and keeps us in this relationship and making us think that, okay, it's okay for me to put up with this because this is what I know. This is what I've learned.
We
that story, and it goes back to her childhood where, you know, her dad was the abuser against her mom, but Yvette took abuse from another woman. You know, so there's another tag that her story is wearing. We gotta really chime into what the real big factors are. Again, we talked about physical abuse, but Yvette, what about the verbal abuse that you endured in this relationship?
You know, women are the most manipulative of all creatures, and they are really good at playing with your emotions more than anyone else.
Absolutely.
And,
I agree.
And, so somehow any situation where, whether I was at fault or not, was turned around on me, that somehow it was my fault. And I did this. And I was a horrible person. And I brought it on myself. And, you know, and then the tears come. And then I feel bad. You know what I mean?
Typical for, again, the abuser's behavior. I really want the listeners to hear the abuser's behavior and the victim behavior. It's behaviors that allow us to stay in this relationship. It's learned behaviors a lot of times that allow us to stay in a relationship as a victim. It's learned behavior that allow us to stay in a relationship as an abuser. So breaking the cycle of those learned behaviors, and again, one of the behaviors that Yvette pointed out in her story again was the isolation piece, and it was the verbal abuse piece that in these relationships, you're verbally abused, even with women and women relationships, you're verbally abused off the top in some of these relationships. You're isolated off the top in some of these relationships, and they can come off very aggressive in some of these relationships towards their victim. So I really want to lay some concrete foundation here that we have to understand when we're in a community working with the same-sex relationships where we see the abuse going on between women and women, that they need to seek some professional help, whether they are victims or abusers, because it's not fair for two people to be in a relationship where abuse is taking place, and not to mention if these relationships have children that are involved.
Right.
It is simply inappropriate, and in those relationships, we are teaching children that abuse is okay, and that it's okay to be a victim, and that it's okay to be an abuser.
Right. Because, you know what the number one, Queen, can I say something on that?
Go ahead.
Yeah, sure.
Here's what my dad and my mom said about my dad, but he's a good provider. And that's the thing that, you know, it never mind all the bad that he did, he provided for us. So we should accept it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Absolutely. Well, that's going to come. If you take someone and you isolate them, you take them from their friends, you take them from their families, you know, you don't let them work. You know, I think at first it's kind of cute probably to women. Honey, I don't want you to work. You know, stay home, have the babies. You know, but like you said, that's behavior. That person is being set up for abuse. You know
right.
what I mean?
Right. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It could be used as a form of isolation. And again, the abusers know. A lot of time, as an abuser, and I know this because I am one. A lot of times, we know how far we can go with that bitch. A lot of times, we know what to say to be able to isolate that victim more and more. A lot of times we know what to say. And we get so good at this thing that we don't even have to put our hands on the victim. We could just look at the victim a certain type of way. And the victim knows, I better straighten up. So there's so many behaviors that people need to identify with in relationships as it pertains to the victim behavior and as it pertains to the abuser's behavior. And I'm totally pushing people to see it in that light with those tags being very prevalent in the relationship so we can begin to identify with each one of the behaviors and know that if this is happening to you, then it's a problem.
Absolutely. We're here tonight in the nation's capital talking live with the founder of DVWMT, Domestic Violence Wears Many Tags, Queen of Fee, with our special guest, Yvette Gagnon. We're going to take a short break, ladies, and we'll be right back.
Yo, I don't even know you and I hate you. See, all I know is that my girlfriend used to date you. How would you feel if she held you down and raped you? Tried and tried, but she never could escape you. She was in love, and I'd ask you how. I mean, why? What kind of love from a nigga would black your eye? What kind of love from a nigga every night makes you cry? What kind of love from a nigga make you wish he would die? I mean, shit, he bought you things and gave you diamond rings, but some things wasn't worth none of the pain that he brings. And you say, what made you fall for him? That nigga had the power to make you crawl for him. I thought you was a doctor, be on call for him. Smack you down, cause he said you was too tall for him. That wasn't love, baby girl, you was dreaming. I could've killed you when you said your seed was growing from the
seed. Love is blind, and it'll take over your mind. What you think is love is truly not. You need to elevate and find.
Love is blind,
and it'll take over your mind. What you think is love is truly not. You need to elevate and find.
I don't even know you when I kill you myself. You played with her like a doll and put her back on the shelf. Wouldn't let her go to school and better herself. She had a baby by your ass and you ain't giving no help, uh-huh. Big time hustler, snake motherfucker. One's born every day and every day she was your sucker. How could you beat the mother of your kid? How could you tell her that you love her? Don't give a fuck if she lives. She told me she would leave you. I admit it, she did. But came back, made up a lie about you missing your kids. Sweet kisses, baby, ain't even know she was your mistress. Had to deal with fist fights and phone calls from your bitches. Lost like you possessed her, telling me to mind my business. That it was her life and stay the fuck out of it. I tried and said, just for him, I keep a ready clip.
We're back live, coming at you from the nation's capital with our host, Queen Fee, in the house tonight. She's the founder of DVWMT, Domestic Violence Wears Many Tags. And, you know, when I left off, you were talking about behavior. and just as an abuser, Queen of Fee, have you ever raped? You know, I know we talk about women being raped by guys. Have you ever raped any of your victims? Any guys?
I have not raped any of my victims, but I did beat victims when they were not sexually active with me.
Okay.
And that's a big part of controlling
okay.
my victims and making them do what I want them to do. And when they don't do that, then there's consequences behind the behavior. So that's one of the things that we do as an abuser.
Wow. Okay. Did your girlfriend, did she ever rape you as far
no.
as the no. Okay.
No, because I was actually the more assertive, let's say, more than she was in that department. She was
okay.
never aggressive in that situation, though.
Okay.
I did have a girl when I was 15. I did have one try to rape me, yes. That was really not okay.
Okay. Because it's
yeah.
happening, and rape in any form we know is wrong, you know, but
yeah.
especially when you know, how do women gang rape women? You know what I mean? What is
with
it?
Objects? With objects.
Say again?
With objects.
Right. I know.
With And how does, yeah. And just being an aggressor when the other party does not want that at all.
Right.
And,
right.
you know, because women have urges too. And it's all a control thing. Rape is a control thing. It's not,
mm-hmm.
it's not about sex. It's about degrading the other person and taking control of them and stripping away
right.
and stripping away their self-esteem. So, yeah,
right.
women can do it to girls. Women can do it to men. Women do it to young boys. It's really not. It's not a male thing. Obviously, they have to borrow equipment, but, you know, the point is it's not about that. It's about degrading the other and controlling them.
Yeah. 'Cause no means no. Whether you're in a same-sex relationship or whether you're in a heterosexual relationship. No means no.
That's right.
But because of the aggressive behavior with the abuser, like you just said, it's a part of control. It's a part of me being able to control this person and go to the limit. And guess what? I know this person is not even going to tell on me.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah, because it's embarrassing. You know, it's very shameful. Nobody wants that. You know, nobody wants to tell that. And especially if you're a girl and it's another girl doing it, that's really awkward. You know?
Absolutely. But that is part of the behavior. That is part of the abuse in a lot of cases. Especially the women that I've talked to, you know, it's like, yeah, you know, and it's what you're saying. It's the demeaning. It's the punking out, the control piece. And I was personally myself a victim of rape. As a young kid, I was raped. And I was raped by women, two different women. Two different times, once at the age of 10, and then at the age of 12, you know. And so I thought that, you know, maybe it was supposed to be like that. I didn't know, you know what I mean? I was so introverted because inside I felt that it was wrong, but you know, I mean, what do you do? You know what I mean? It's like...
Yeah, because women give a false sense of security. They do, because
yeah.
you think of women as very sweet and nurturing and loving.
There you
so
go.
When they do that, you think, hey, maybe I'm just, you know, maybe it's me. maybe this is what they're supposed to, that's part of the nurturing, but it's just not true.
It's just not true. And it took me a long time to understand, because I would hear about, you know, men and uncles and, you know, boys. And I said, but nobody's talking about women raping women. I said, nobody's talking about, you know what I mean? And anyway, so I wanted to put that out there.
Did you say anything?
Women, definitely, once again, it goes back to the aggressive behavior, the abusive behavior. It also goes back to, like I said before, some abusers come off really aggressive as women. Some of them come off with the nurturing role as women, as we state. Some of the abuses, you know, kind of swept under the cover, you know, and it's the little things like, baby, come here, you know, but women are touching you in ways that are inappropriate. Those behaviors do not change. That's what I want you to get. The behavior do not change, whether it comes in women or whether it comes in men. Statistically, there's a lot of cases that have been reported against men as it pertains to rape. All right? Statistically, there's not a lot of cases that have been reported in terms of women. And that's why this show is, yet again, important, and the conversation that we're having tonight is important, because people need to know that women have these tendencies to rape other women. Women have these tendencies to molest little boys and little girls. Okay, so that's why, again, it wears many tags, and that's why we need to break the cycle and begin to talk about the things that women do, too. And I can speak firmly and diligently about that, because I'm a woman that is an abuser, and I know that there are many women that are abusers. So it's important, again, that we have this conversation. But, again, the behavior does not change. The person changes.
It usually intensifies. It doesn't change. It usually intensifies.
And especially if you don't identify with those tapes, especially if America is only saying that, hey, just men abuse, or just men are sex predators. You know, if America is only putting that stigma on men, we're not even paying attention to the women.
Nope.
Absolutely. It's almost to me, Queen, it's like when back in the day, I guess we all remember when they had the Don't Talk to Strangers campaign, and we saw all this dog with a trench coat, you know, and a hat, looking suspicious, but we didn't show him the teacher and the uncle and the nurse and, you know, the do-gooders. You know, and we really botched it up with that, because we left our kids defenseless, you know. Yeah. And I think that this, again, is so important, us talking about this and bringing to light these issues, and that little girls get violated by women just like little boys do, like big boys do, you know. So We're taking the covers off tonight. We're here live in the nation's capital. We're talking to Queen Afee, the founder of DVWMT, Domestic Violence Wears Many Tags. We have our special guest along with Queen Afee, Yvette Gagnon, and Yvette is a survivor of same-sex abuse. This is just, you know, the lines are open. So, you know, I want everyone to feel free, you know, just to come on in. If you have some questions for these ladies, we welcome your questions.
Let me put this last piece out there, too, when we talk about the sexual abuse tag. We want right now for households to begin to point out to our children what their body parts are. We want children to know that they have breasts. We want children to know that they have a vagina. We want children to know that they have penis. And if a person has touched them, then they can point directly or say directly where the person has touched them at. We don't want to sugarcoat those body parts by saying, you know, a nookie or a ta-ta, a wee-wee, and all that. We don't want to use that language anymore. We want the language of, this is your breast, this is your vagina, this is your penis.
we want to educate them that if somebody is touching them, they know directly what to say and where they have been touched in terms of the sexual abuse tag. That's going to be very important in educating our children in terms of sexual abuse. And we should be talking to our children about sexual abuse and that it can come in the form of a man, it can come in the form of a woman.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's very important. And one thing that I always have done, I have a lot of nieces and nephews, and now I talk to them, and I always tell them, listen, nobody in the world can beat your auntie. Nobody in the world can beat your daddy and your mommy. If anybody touches any part of your body, you come to us. You know, and I took away the myth of I'll kill your mommy, I'll kill your uncle. Or, you know, I took that. So that's something that I practice with all my kids. And I let them know nobody can beat me. And, you know, as they get older, then you can talk more and let them know, you know, even more about the abuse and keeping it real like we're doing tonight. Because they are helpless if we don't. Just like you said, Queen, teach them about their vagina and about their breath and what men and women want and how sneaky they are and you know, and just how they're predators. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. You know, I wanted to ask a quick question and just go back to something you said a minute ago, Rath, when you were talking about yourself. I wanted to ask you, how did you handle that when you were raped? You know, do you remember whether or not you told anyone? And if you did, how did you respond?
Yeah, you know, I did. Eventually, when my cousin left, I told my parents.
Okay.
And my parents were proactive. They got on the phone immediately and, you know, made the calls. And, you know, what it did in that respect is that it opened up the other questioning, because now we find out that my cousin was being abused.
Mm.
You know, so because we opened up and I said something, you know, that started something turning.
Mm.
But it was a vicious cycle that was happening in the family already.
Can I ask you a quick question also? How old was the abuser?
She was 16.
See, now that's what I was going to say. I was going to say earlier when we were talking that something we also not only need to tell our kids about our uncles and aunts and the police officer or whoever, the teacher, this is any other, we need to tell them about other kids, other teenagers, somebody who may just be a little bit older than them, because there is a lot of that abusing going on. When they've been abused, sometimes they'll go and abuse someone as well.
Absolutely.
Well, definitely research again says that exactly that. It can also be another peer. Because something has happened to them. And there's also a lot of support with research in terms of abusers being victims themselves. So if they've been in the household and have been a victim themselves and never got any help, it's 9 times out of 10 the behavior will transform into their own life. And it can start at a young age and progress all the way until adulthood.
Right.
Absolutely. Hey, guys, this has been a great show. I got to wrap it up. This is Rash
and Mello
coming to you live from the nation's capital. Please, you've been talking to the founder of DVWMT, Domestic Violence Wears Many Tags. Please check out her website on Facebook. Thank you for listening. God bless you all. Hey, and peace. Have a great week.
Good night. Good night.
Peace and love. Peace good night. And love. Thank you for having us.
Thank you, ladies. Thank you, ladies.
Thank you.
Yo, I don't even know you and I hate you. See, all I know is that my girlfriend used to date you. How would you feel if she held you down and raped you? Tried and tried, but she never could escape you. She was in love, and I'd ask you how. I mean, why? What kind of love from a nigga would black your eye? What kind of love from a nigga? Every every night make you cry. What kind of love from a nigga make you wish he would die? I mean, shit, he bought you things and gave you diamond rings, but some things wasn't worth none of the pain that he brings. And you say, what made you fall for him? That nigga had the power to make you crawl for him. I thought you was a doctor, be on call for him. Smack you down cause he said you was too tall for him, huh? That wasn't love, baby girl, you was dreaming. I could've killed you when you said your seed was growing from his
teeth. Love is blind, and it'll take over your mind. What you think is love is truly not. You need to elevate and find.
Love is blind,
and it'll take over your mind. What you think is love is truly not. You need to elevate and find.
I don't even know you when I kill you myself. You played with her like a doll and put her back on the shelf. Wouldn't let her go to school and better herself. She had a baby by your ass and you ain't giving no help, uh-huh. Big time hustler, snake motherfucker. One's born every day and every day she was your sucker. How could you beat the mother of your kid? How could you tell her that you love her? Don't give a fuck if she lives. She told me she would leave you, I admit it she did. But came back, made up a lie about you missing your kids. Sweet kisses, baby ain't even know she was your mistress. Had to deal with fist fights and phone calls from your bitches. Lost like you possessed her, telling me to mind my business. That it was her life and stay the fuck out of it. I tried and said just for him I keep a ready clip.
Love is blind, and it'll take over your mind. What you think is love is truly not. You need to elevate and find.
Love is blind,
and it'll take over your mind. What you think is love is truly not. You need to elevate and find.
I don't even know you and I want you dead. Don't know the facts, but I saw the blood pour from her head. See, I lay down beside her in the hospital bed, and about 2 hours later, doctor said she was dead. Had the nerve to show up at her mother's house the next day to come and pay your respect and help the family pray. Even knelt down on one knee and let a tear drop. And before you had a chance to get up, you heard my gun cop praying to me now. I ain't God, but I pretend. I ain't start your life a nigga, I'ma bring it to an end. And I did, clear shots and no regrets. Never cops come and lock me under the jail. Nigga, whatever, my bitch, fuck that, my sister. You can never figure out, even if I let you live, what I love was all about. I consider her my blood and it ain't come no thicker.
Love is blind, and it'll take over your mind. Love is truly not. You need to elevate and find.
Love is blind,
and it'll take over your mind. What you think is love is truly not. You need to elevate and find.
Love is blind,
and it'll take over your mind. What you think is love is truly not. You need to elevate and find.
Love is blind,
and it'll take over your mind.